Good morning, everyone. Happy New Year. It's wonderful, isn't it, to be together, to be able to be together like this. Can I just say a big thank you on behalf of Mum and Dad for all your love and prayers for them. I think most of you would be aware it's been a really tough time for them both, especially for Dad, who's in hospital at the moment. It's so good to be able to sing and declare our trust in the Lord and be reminded that He's the unchanging one. Life is so changeable, isn't it? It's sometimes it feels like a roller coaster. Sometimes you might feel like you want to get off for a little bit. But you know what? If we're the Lord's, we are absolutely safe in the unshakable and everlasting arms of the Saviour. And how good is that to speak? We need to speak it to our hearts, don't we? We speak it out. When we're together, there's a real strength in that. But we also need to, I remember reading years ago that it's quite good to preach to yourself. I don't know if you do that. If you don't, maybe that could be a resolution for 2022. Can you believe it? It sounds a bit sci-fi, doesn't it? I never thought we'd get here. I'd just like to present the latest in Bible warmers. Niche in the market. Ella made this for me and it's absolutely brilliant. Keeps the Bible warm. The most important thing, you could call it a Bible cozy if you prefer. I think it's got great scope. I absolutely love it. Thank you, Ella. Most important thing, though, is that the Word is in our hearts and it's warm there, burning within us. Bless the Lord. And he's able to kindle afresh the gift of God within us. And we need it, don't we? Don't we need that stirring? Don't we need His breathing amongst us to perhaps rekindle a flame that may be flickering, perhaps a little weak? But you know what? He doesn't come to quench or to discourage, but ever so tenderly, He comes and breathes and blows us into new life and passion for Him. I'd like to talk briefly. Can I just do a little check-in, actually? We were just saying to ourselves, what time does the meeting finish? 12 o'clock. Is that what everyone was thinking? We suddenly thought, I wonder if it was 11:30. It's 20 past 11, so I just wanted to say, so that you've got the right expectations, we're not finishing at 11:30. We might finish a bit before 12. Is that okay? Because I don't want you to get antsy when the clock hits 12:30 and I'm still going. I'd like to speak to you. I'm not quite sure what the title could be. I think my favourite is, who is this? That even the wind and waves obey Him. I think that should be our focus. You might think it's about storms, but this needs to be our focus. Who is this? That even the wind and the waves obey Him. I just slightly tweaked the title because of what Mark said at the start. 2022, focus on Christ and Christ alone. And you'll probably, if you know your Bibles, you'll probably be aware what passage we're going to look at. It's very brief. It comes specifically in three of the Gospels, Matthew 8, and we'll turn there, Matthew 8, 23 to 27. It's also recorded in Mark 4 and Luke 8 as well, but we're going to look together primarily in Matthew chapter 8. And I'm just going to read that scripture for us. It's quite brief. Now, in verse 23, now when he got into a boat, his disciples followed him. And suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with the waves. But he was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we're perishing. But he said to them, Why are you fearful, O you of little faith? I remember Pete recently, well, it was fairly recently, spoke about the actual translation there is just little faiths. And it's actually a tender rebuke. A tender rebuke. Oh, little faiths. We may see something more about that in a moment. And then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, Who can this be? Who is this? I mean, they were following him, but this it was just like, Who is this? That even the winds and waves, even the wind and the sea with all its ferocity at times, even these natural elements obey him. Wonderful passage, isn't it? Now I want you to notice, if you just cast your eye up a little bit in the chapter to verse 18, it says, And when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave a command to depart to the other side. Now that's interesting, just that thought right there. When Jesus saw great multitudes about him, so it was pretty frenzied, it was all going on, loads of people, loads of need, busy day as part of the Lord's public ministry. And in this situation, when we see here, when Jesus saw the great multitudes, and often we think, well, when Jesus sees the great multitudes, he's filled with compassion and kind of heads right into the throng. And yes, at times, absolutely. But here we have this, he gave a command. That's strong, isn't it? He gave a command to depart to the other side. So I don't know what you do with that. If I'm a disciple, I'm thinking, okay, great multitude, so maybe this is like up in the ante in terms of ministry, and what's he going to do? And then he says, let's go. And it's a command. Let's leave the multitude and go to the other side. The key here is we've got to be in close relationship with Jesus, because he's quite surprising in what he does. I don't know if you've discovered that. He doesn't always fit into our preconceived notions and ideas of what we think he should be up to. Who is this? There's a sense in which even wonderful, and absolutely the focus is, it's the most wonderful thing for any human being. In fact, it's your destiny for now and for all eternity to know the unsearchable riches of this one, the Christ. The unchangeable, the great unchangeable I am. But there's a dynamic tension here. We can know him intimately. The new covenant has made that possible. But at the same time, there's a sense in which we are like, who is this? I don't know what he's doing. Who is this? So Jesus now has commanded, so you've got the multitudes and he's made a commandment, let's go to the other side. Interesting. So we need to hold that, don't we, in our minds as we come to our passage. Now when he got into a boat, verse 23, his disciples followed him. Bless the Lord for that. Bearing in mind in verse 18, he had given a command. Let's go to the other side. They must have had all sorts going on in their heads. What's going on? Why are we going to the other side? Maybe the mission is clearly here. And Jesus commands, let's go. And bless the Lord for that in their hearts. When he got into the boat, they followed him. Amen. So can I just say at the start of this new year, if the Lord gives a command, we're to obey him. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Follow me, says our great rabbi and master. But what are you going to do? It's not for you to know, sometimes he says. It's not for you to know. But we've got this insatiable appetite to know. I don't mean just to know him. I mean, let's be honest, we love to know what's going on, don't we? Come on, admit it. We like a plan. We like a clear plan of action, a timeline, preferably. Have you not got an innate desire for certainty? Come on, let's be honest. And the Lord calls, and he went out not knowing whither he was going. That's in the AV, just to kind of give it a little bit of va-va-voom. He went out not knowing where he was going. Does that make you feel a little bit uncomfortable? You know what? We're great, aren't we? With the benefit of hindsight. I see things absolutely clearly once they've happened. Have you discovered this? Do you know? I'm just reminding you things that we already know, but we are called to walk by faith and not by sight. He gave a command. He got into the boat and his disciples followed him. And we know what's coming because we got the benefit of hindsight having just read the passage. Now they as fishermen might have been aware of the Sea of, well they would have been aware of the Sea of Galilee and what potentially could happen all of a sudden. But I'm imagining, again, I'm trying to put myself in their shoes, sorry, probably sandals. appreciate the feedback. So, if I was following the Lord and he says get into the boat, maybe as a fisherman, if you were one of the fishermen, you might be thinking, oof, it's always a little bit tricky on the Sea of Galilee, potentially. All looks calm at the moment. Jesus is calling us, commanding us, in fact, so all is well. That's okay, right? Let's, you know, we might have questions in our mind, but let's just follow. So they do. Point two, suddenly. Don't you love a suddenly? Inherent within the word suddenly is the element of surprise. We don't often see it coming, do we? Even if we're familiar, it says here, suddenly a great tempest. So they're following Jesus. So surely we need to pause and recognize that by following and obeying Jesus, it does not make us immune to storms and tempests and gales. Naturally, I mean, we went through one. We had Chan's parents over after not seeing them for 4 years. And they arrived, bless them, in the middle of a global pandemic. And then Hoylake, I don't know about the rest of the world, so I hear that quite a few trees got ripped up, people's fences were blowing around the place, tiles were coming off. There was a mighty tempest. We live quite near the front, so it gets a bit blustery, but this was like nothing we'd come across. And it seemed to whip up suddenly. Coming in off the coast and half of the beach ended up Trinity Road. Some of it's still there. I'm going to phone the council. Note to self. Add that to the to-do list. So suddenly a great tempest, and we often, even if we're familiar with patterns, weather patterns, etc., the suddenly aspect can often take us by surprise. Can I just say, not so with the Lord. Not surprised or shaken. So we might ask at this point, well, what is the cause of the storm? And again, with the benefit of hindsight and reading the scriptures, we're masters, aren't we? Or we like to think we are, of interpretation and figuring out what exactly is going on. So what is the cause of this storm? Well, some storms seem to be the result of entirely natural phenomena, if I can put it like that. The weather. Us Brits love to talk about the weather, don't we? It's a great topic of conversation. Some storms, it seems, and we need to handle this carefully, but it seems sometimes things are whipped up by the malevolence of things that we don't see and perhaps fully understand. And some storms, according to the scripture, there are scriptures we could look at if we had time, are sent by God. Now we need to be careful how we handle all this. We need humility, don't we? It's not, I noted down here as I was thinking about this, and we've got to be honest, it's not always straightforward figuring out the cause. Or maybe if we're spiritual people, we might say it's not about figuring out, Dave, it's about discernment. But even that, let's be honest, let's be humble. We know in part. And there's a dynamic tension here, my friends, where we're grappling with things that are too grand. And it's okay. Can I just say it's okay for there to be an element of mystery when we're dealing with the mystery of the triune God? Read Psalm 131. Just to refresh yourself. And the psalmist there says, I'm like a weaned child. Sometimes we need to back off from prying into things that we just frankly don't understand. And we trust our Saviour. Glory to His wonderful name. Listen to this, in Psalm 107 it says, For He, as in God Almighty, commands and raises the stormy wind which lifts up the waves of the sea. So then we read a verse like that and we're like, right, we've got it, let's box it off, tick, we know what the cause of the storm is. But actually in our story, it ends with Jesus, the Creator, getting up and rebuking the storm. So I don't know how you deal with that. If it was the Lord who caused the storm, why is He rebuking it? Anyway, hold this in dynamic tension. And then in Psalm 107:29, it says, He calms the storm so that its waves are still. So we have that there, don't we? Sea of Galilee. Many of you probably know about this amazing place. Had different names, Lake Tiberias and another name that I sometimes struggle to pronounce. Let's call it the Sea of Galilee. So the location of this sea, if you're not aware, made it subject, naturally speaking, to sudden and violent storms. Okay? The wind comes over the eastern mountains, drops suddenly onto the sea. Especially likely to have storms when an east wind blows cool air over the warm air that covers that sea. The cold air, if you're interested, it's fascinating this, I quite like reading about these things. The cold air, apparently it's a bit heavier, drops as the warm air rises and the sudden change, and there we have it, remember God's the unchanging one, the sudden change can produce a surprising and furious storm in a short time. Just as we see here in Matthew 8. So you could say then, okay, so it's a natural phenomena. Happened a lot. There's an explanation. Cold air, warm air, the mountains, the sea, etc. But then, hang on. If you read on, anyone know where Jesus was actually going? When he said the command to go, leave the multitude and to head over to the other side. Anyone know where he was going? The demon possessed. In Matthew it says two demon-possessed. I think in Luke it seems it's the one. But whatever the situation, Jesus, my friends, is going out of his way for the one who is utterly beyond help, utterly lost, unreachable, on the far side. And Jesus is going for him. He is going for him after phenomenally busy ministry time. So you might then think, hang on a minute. So maybe the enemy is involved here, whipping up an opposition to the Son of God, this one, the only one, who's left the multitude to go for you and for me, who were afar off, beyond reach, irredeemable, hopeless cases. Oh, who is this? Who is this? We're dealing with greatness that is off the charts here. We're dealing with majesty. We're dealing with holiness. We're dealing with ability that we can barely grapple with or understand. Who is this? It's Jesus. 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 All glory be to Christ and Christ alone. Who is this? Oh, he's our Saviour. He's our healer. He's our shepherd. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of the universe. He's the Creator of the heavens and the earth. He's the Word. He's the first word, the last word, and all the words that matter in between. He's Jesus. Glory to him. And the tempest has suddenly whipped up and you're all thinking, have I got this boxed off? Maybe it's the devil. Maybe it's a natural phenomenon. Maybe the Lord's caused it. Who? Can I just say, who knows? I'm not entirely sure. Maybe it's a bit of both. We don't see. We don't fully know. But I tell you what, I know Jesus. In the measure that I do when I'm with Mark, I'm running on into 22 to know him more. My dear dad in hospital is trying to tell the nurses about Jesus. Please keep praying for him. He's going through the valley. But in the middle of it, son, does she love Jesus? I don't know, Dad. You might want to ask her. Do you know Jesus? You know, it's all about him. Who is this? Who is this? Oh, praise the Lord. Praise him. Are we all still okay? Just checking in. Officially, we finish at 12. So if you think of that and we go early, you're going to be happy, aren't you? That's what I used to do with... I still do it at work. When I'm training, I'll give the end time. And then if we finish a bit early, they all go away happy. So we got the tempest. And it's sudden and surprising, and we have to admit sometimes we don't entirely know what's going on. So what was the cause, and do we need to know? Sometimes, I'm not saying always, sometimes it's okay not to know. We so often want to see, but we're called to walk by faith. We so often want to know, but for now, we know in part, as it says in Corinthians. And sometimes, in fact, Acts chapter 1 verse 7, Jesus says explicitly, it's not for you to know. And it was a legitimate question. The disciples, do you remember? Do you remember? This is Acts now. He's alive. A substantial miracle has occurred. It's not for you to know. Is it this time? We love to know timings, don't we? It's not just what's going on, but timings. I think I don't want to make a generalization here, but I'm just going to gently suggest that sometimes, not always, sometimes the ladies are better planners than the men. Now, perhaps I'm speaking from personal experience. And I've learned, I'm still learning as we go along, that it's not just what, but it's when. Sometimes I'm quite clear about the what, but I'm not entirely clear about the when, and that's potentially an issue. Do you hear what I'm saying? So the disciples say to Jesus, so is it at this time you will restore the kingdom to Israel? Kick the Romans into touch, nicely does it. We want to know the time. Actually, it wouldn't have been that, would it? Something culturally relevant. The time. When? When, Lord? And he says, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons that are essentially in the Father's hands. His authority. He's got it. He's got you. You're held. Isn't that wonderful? Actually, it's such a rest to our troubled souls and frantic minds. He's got you. In his unfailing and loving care. And he's the ultimate authority. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. And so we have an innate need for certainty, but so often walking by faith and knowing in part necessitates us to discover, as Oswald Chambers so eloquently puts it, have you read this one? The graciousness of uncertainty. Look it up if you're interested. He doesn't always tell us what he's going to do, but he reveals to us who he is. If you're not convinced about that, read Job again. If ever there was a situation where it was legitimate for God to say exactly what was going on and why, I would suggest from a rational point of view that would have been the opportunity. But amazingly, God didn't answer Job's groaning questions and the why. But what he did do was reveal who he is. And it seems from reading Job, and I again handle with care, my friends, it seems that the revelation of who he is, I was going to say, is enough. That sounds paltry, doesn't it? More than enough. The revelation of who he is. So he doesn't always tell us what he's going to do, but he reveals to us who he is. And in Acts chapter 1 verse 7, when he says it's not for you to know, he then says, but you shall receive power. Basically, he was opening up the fact that they were going to have the greatest revelation of who God is, revealed, as Paul puts it, in them. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Isn't that wonderful? Bless his name. Bless his name. So suddenly a great tempest arose, but, and this is a surprising one, the tempest was surprising. I think this was even more surprising. But he was asleep. Now again, with the benefit of hindsight, we can get to work analytically and think, well, why on earth was he asleep? Does that mean spiritually that, I mean, he is the Lord of peace and he's at perfect rest, and we like to ponder these wonderful things? He was so at rest, he was just sleeping in the boat. Well, I think there's something in that. But actually, if you look at what had happened prior to this trip, and knowing, as we have been reminded this Christmas, that he was actually human, and Mark records, and I love the detail, that he was actually asleep on a pillow. Matthew doesn't record the pillow. Mark records the pillow, so I got to thinking, oh, that's amazing. The Lord was absolutely exhausted. And whether it was a garment or whatever, he intentionally, I need to get my head down. In terms of his perfect humanity, he wasn't a superhuman who didn't need to eat and sleep and all the things that are common to our humanity. I think he was exhausted. Pillow, stern of the boat, away he goes. not counteracting at all, or not in tension with at all, the fact that he's the Prince of Peace and he was at perfect rest in the midst of the storm. Both, I like to think. Oh, praise him. He was asleep. So you can see it, the disciples who were like, yeah, gung-ho, let's follow him. We might have questions about what might happen, but let's follow him. He's commanded, let's go. And then the storm whips up. Not only does the storm whip up, he seems like he's dropped the ball. He's asleep. Now we appreciate, you can imagine that, you know, we appreciate weariness and tiredness, but this is a kind of life-threatening crisis. It would really help, Lord, especially us following you, that our leader and master was not sleeping on the job. Obviously, that's slight speculation on my part, what might have been going through their heads. Hold that, again, carefully. They come to him. Jesus was forever saying, come to me, wasn't he? They came to him. And I can just imagine again, I mean, the scene is just ridiculous in a sense. It's just this absolute tempest and he is fast asleep and they have to wake him up. Can you imagine? They'd be desperate. We're going to perish. The waves are coming in. They're about to, in their estimation, drown. It's all over. This has all gone horribly wrong. And it says, he arose. I love that. Let's get a little poetic, shall we? It says the tempest arose. Well, can I just let you know that whatever tempest might arise, the greatest rising is always and only and ever will be the rising of the Christ. Right now as we sit here, whatever we're feeling, Christ is risen. A little hallelujah would be fitting. I know it's just after Christmas and that's for Easter according to the church calendar, but I'm jumping the gun here. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Isn't that, seriously, I know I'm getting a little excited now. It's exciting. He's alive. He's alive now. He isn't asleep. He never grows tired or weary. He's absolutely in control. He's got us safe in his everlasting arms and he will bring us home. Glory to his name. He arose. I imagine the picture. I mean, it's beautiful. I love the word of God. There's these little snips and pops of glory in the most mundane and sometimes traumatic circumstances. I think this does speak of the Christ rising. The disciples, they're just doing their human, entirely normal, natural thing. Ha! Help! And they wake him up and he arises. And here's another surprise. I mean, this passage is full of surprises. They came to him, they awoke him, they said, Lord, save us, we're perishing. And he says to them, he doesn't get up and go, wow, dear me, I fell asleep, what a mess, that was close. Ah, quick, let's get the plan back. You know, none of that. He says the most surprising thing, why are you fearful? I've had to take a look at this from every angle. I'm thinking that's a funny question. Lord, if I was on that boat, seriously, knowing my own humanity and frailty, I would be bottling it. I wouldn't just be sitting there going, come on, lads, have you learnt nothing? Chill. No. It's a crisis. It's life-threatening. Their lives, according to their estimation, are hanging in the balance, even as experienced fishermen, some of them. They're on the threshold, and they're panicking, and they're fearful. And Jesus wakes up with their waking. I mean, it's just classic, isn't it? Why are you fearful? And by the way, it's still raging when he says that. He hasn't done his thing just now. Again, if it was me, I'd be thinking, let's not discuss this. You just take over. We'll talk about our fears later. The Lord, in the midst of the storm, is, why are you afraid? Oh, little faith, can you hear the tenderness of the Saviour? Oh, little faith, he wasn't squashing them or quenching them or snuffing them out. He was tenderly wanting to teach them in the very heart of the tempest, wanting to teach them to walk by faith. He's willing for our faith to be tried and tested, sometimes to the point where we think, this is too much. And we cry out, feeling like all is lost. And we hear his voice, I've got you. I've got you. Don't be afraid. Oh, little faith, I'm going to cause your faith to grow and be strengthened. Not just for your own sake, but to speak in this lost world where people are floundering without hope. And you can almost hear the Lord thinking, oh, you've got no idea who I'm going for. And almost in the middle of the storm, can you sense it? It's almost there's a calm before the calm comes, because Jesus has spoken. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. A tender rebuke. An opportunity for faith to be tested and grow. And talk about following Jesus and being in his school. What a rabbi this is. I mean, this is really on-the-job learning right now. It's proper apprenticeship stuff. This isn't intellectual theorizing at university. This is in the thick of it, this lesson. It's all going on. Oh, little faiths. And then he does something so phenomenal. And it's to help their faith grow, amongst other things. He arose and he rebuked the winds and the sea. And there was great calm. Mark, who notes the pillow, also notes, and I love the fact that we've got more than one gospel. It's rich, isn't it? Mark notes that Jesus actually says, and this is his rebuke to the winds and the waves, the creator of the universe, in human flesh, on a boat, Lake Tiberias, Sea of Galilee. Peace. Be still. Be still. That's his rebuke to the wind and the waves. Now, whatever caused it, or whatever combination of causes there may or may not have been, the key point is, who is this? Peace. Be still. Now, that was not a natural phenomenon. Jesus, in the midst of, whether it was natural or demonic or whatever you like to think, in the midst of the ferrari of the storm and the gale and the waves, he just says, peace. And there's a great calm. Bless his wonderful name. Listen, precious child of God, or if you don't yet know him, maybe you're listening in on Zoom, I don't know. There may be a great storm raging in your own mind. There may be fears that seem to be overwhelming you. We're dealing with the who is this? And he can speak calmly, but with the authority of the highest order. And in Jesus' name, we can pray, can't we? For people, for benighted souls. Peace. Be still. We can rebuke the enemy and resist him. And it says in the word, he has to flee. Bearing in mind, Jesus was going to the other side, and essentially, the biggest storm a human, perhaps we can't really measure it, but you could think like that, couldn't you? The Gadarene demoniac And essentially Jesus comes through this natural, if you like, tempest, and he comes to the demoniac and he says, essentially, peace. Be still. Quiet all other voices, all other influences, all other principalities and powers. Shush. And he was left sitting in his right mind. Glory to God. For all eternity, safe and secure in the arms of the Saviour. Isn't this wonderful? Bless his wonderful name. So no wonder, no wonder they marvelled, saying, who is this? Who can this be? They knew him in measure. But there's moments, and even for us, however long we've walked with the Lord, I don't know if you've discovered this, there are times when he does things. Just think, I don't understand, but I worship. Who is this? Just a personal note, I said to my mum recently, whatever happens with Dad, ultimately, what is actually happening is that the Lord will stand up and will say, peace. Be still. He might give him a little more time on this earth. He might call him home. But essentially, the greatest authority is this one. Glory to him. We're all thankful, aren't we, for medical provision and care. We thank the Lord for amazing staff, people aware of that, especially in our day and age and global pandemics and all kinds going on. There's storms and tempests brewing and raging right now as we speak. I want you to fix your eyes on this one. This one who now, the risen Christ, never grows tired or weary. Sometimes it appears to us in our experience as if he's asleep. Reminds me of Jairus and his daughter. It reminds me of Mary and Martha with their brother Lazarus. Jairus, it's too late. Martha, oh Lord, if you'd been here, he wouldn't have died. You can hear the very human groan and heartache, can't you? But Martha, bless her, what faith right on the back of that. But even now I know you can raise him. Go on, Martha. Busy lady that she was a woman of faith. Have you ever had that? If only. It's too late. Oh, glory, glory, glory. He doesn't always tell us what he's going to do, but he reveals himself. And this morning, maybe we need to take a good, long look again at this one. Who is this that even the winds and waves obey him? Glory to this one. Amen. Amen. Embrace him. Run to him. Eat him. Drink him. And go with him. Follow him into this new year. There is no one like him. And he's got you, my friend. Amen.